Last Mishnah of the Masechta, Memtes Amud Aleph, near the bottom. Previous Mishnayos, hello. Hi, Ali. Since previous Mishnayos have been talking about various things that cease to exist eventually, Meisota, Agla Rufa, and so forth, so now this Mishnah is also going to be, they were suspended, whatever that means. And we had in the last Mishnah that sort of singing was suspended when the Sanhedrin was bottled. So now our Mishnah continues on a similar topic. The Pulmus Shel Aspasianus, during the Pulmus, Aspasianus is the Roman general who besieged Yerushalayim and then began the process that led to the Churban. During his Pulmus, okay, so Rashi says Pulmus means the armies of his, I don't know what's going on, I don't know. Rashi says that Pulmus means the armies of his that besieged Yerushalayim. The Rambam says that Pulmus means the era, the period, the reign of Aspasianus. Anyway, he says error. So, according to Rashi, it means the soldiers, and according to the Rambam, it means the error. There's a Greek word, polemos, which means the war, so it may also mean that, during the war of Aspasianus, whatever it was. Gozrel atris chasanim. Yeah, that's where the word polemos comes from. Gozrel atris chasanim. The Chachamim made a gzera about crowns or tiaras that are worn by chassanim that they're not allowed to, which we'll talk about in the Gemara. Bala irus, and also they're not allowed to use an irus, which is a kind of musical instrument, which again the Gemara will talk about. The pulmus shel titrus. Next, during the pulmus, again with all the various possibilities of what pulmus means, of titrus. Now, what do we mean the pulmus of titrus? Rashi says we're going back a ways. We're going back to when the Hashmonai brothers were fighting against each other late in the history of the Hashmonai, when two brothers, Hyrcanus and Aristobulus, were fighting each other for the crown, and then they ended up bringing the Romans to Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi says that this was 52 years, there were 52 years between the pulmus of Aspasianus and the pulmus of Titus. So what does that mean? I mean, there's a bit of a hard time understanding that. Hyrcanus and Aristobulus lived over 100 years before Aspasianus. There's a number of different possibilities that the Torah should bring up, one of them being that what Rashi means to say is that Hyrcanus and Aristobulus, their civil war eventually led to the Roman takeover of Eretz Yisrael, which eventually led to Titus destroying the Beis Hamikdash, and therefore we can call it Pulmus Shel Titus, even though this is long before Titus himself was born, because eventually it led to him.
What was the civil war about?
The civil war was about that each of them wanted to be king. What are most civil wars about that each one wanted power. We'll talk about it on Ahmed Bey's. We'll talk about a story that happened in a minute.
You're not Jewish.
No, they were Jewish. They were descendants of the Hashmonai. Another possibility that some people bring up is there are some Kisvayad and other sources that instead of Titus, they have the word Kitus, which is the name of a Roman general who was in charge in Eretz Yisrael about 40, 50 years after the Churban. That would fit Rashi's 52 years. There was a whole to do going on over there where the Goyim were doing pogroms against the Jewish people, and the Jewish people were fighting back in various places in the empire, and the emperor of that time, Trajan, sent a general by the name of Titus to Eretz Yisrael, and he did. So anyway, so at that time, Gozrel atris kalus, they made a gzera about that kalus are not allowed to wear tiaras. And also that a person should not teach his sons Greek. What do we mean by Greek? We'll talk about whether we mean language or whether it means something else. The Chamed is there. Yeah, we'll talk about it in the Gemara. The Pulmus Achren Gozru, in the last war, they made a Xeter, but what do we mean by the last war? Rashi says it means the one in which the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, in which case it's the same as Titus's war. It's just a continuation of it, basically. The Rambam seems to say that the Pulmus Achren is a war that took place in the times of Rebbe, who compiled the Mishnah. And there are other people who do bring up the possibility that maybe Pulmus Achren means the war of Bar Kokhba, so the generation before Rebbe. Anyway, at that time, Gozru Shalai Tetzak Kala Bapirion Besechahir. They made a gzera that a Kala is not allowed to go out in the city in an Apiria. And what's an Apiria? And Rashi says when they brought her from her father's house to her husband's house, they would have a whole canopy with beautiful gold threaded talisim and other things hanging around it. An Apirion usually means actually something they carry her on. They carry her on like a litter surrounded by beautiful cloth and whatnot. They made that gzera that no. However, because each of these things, as there was tragedies that occurred to the Jewish people in each of these wars, the Chachamim reacted by banning one or another expression of simcha. Chassanim wearing crowns, Kalas wearing crowns, Kalas going out on an Apirion. However, yes, a form of it. However, Rabbi Senu which means Rebbe himself, he and his Beis Din, said that a challah can go out in the city in that period, because of Tzniut, as the Gemara will talk about. Now the Gemara is going to talk about some things, various midas, toibas, and great milos that disappeared with when various great people, various great tanoim passed away, that with each one of them a certain great aspect of disappeared with them. Mishmester of Meir Butler Moshe Mishalim. When Meir passed away, the great people who are able to come up with Mishalim passed away, because he was famous for his Mishalim. He was always able to find a very apt Moshel for everything that he taught. The Gemara in Sanhedrin mentions that he knew 300 Mishalim just involving foxes, and we only know 3 of them. So once he passed away, that was the end of that. Mishmes ben Azai Batla Shakdanim. When Ben Azai passed away, Shakdanim, the people who are very diligent about learning Torah day and night. Ben Azai is the famous one that he learned in Yavamis. He didn't want to get married because he said, I love the Torah too much to be able to lead it. That's the you have normally a person is chayiv and period of Rivia, but he was the exception. So once he passed away, you didn't have that level of shakdanim anymore. Okay, but every rule has exceptions. No, come on, this isn't the place to talk about it. We talk about it a lot in Yavamis. Mishemester Rakiva Botel Kovid HaTorah. When Rabbi Akiva passed away, the Kovid of the Torah went away. Why? Rashi says because Rabbi Akiva used to darshan from every one of the little tagim on a letter, he could darshan whole bunches of halachas. That's the Kovid of the Torah to show that every little detail in the Torah is important and there's nothing extra in it. When he passed away, that disappeared. Mishemester Chanina Mendoza Botel Anshe Maisa. When Rabbi Chanina Mendoza passed away, the people of Maisa disappeared. People of Maisa, Rashi says, meaning people who know that they're on such a level that they know that Eibishter will do whatever they want on the spot because of their great Maisa. So, for example, you have all the famous stories in Tainis involving the Chanina Mendoza when his daughter lit Shabbos candles with vinegar, and he said the vinegar can burn just as much as oil can burn. When he traded in chickens that somebody had left on his doorstep by mistake for goats because they're easier to take care of, and people are complaining that the goats are devouring their fields, which wasn't really true. Then they came home dragging bears with them to demonstrate that. There's a number of stories in the third parak of Tainis about Chanina Mendoza that we see that open missing like that happened to him.
The bears we spoke about.
Yeah. Mishemesh Rabbi Yossi Katanta Paskul Chassidim. When Rabbi Yossi Katanta passed away, the Chassidim ceased to exist. The woman of Kishmei Katanta, Shoy Katanta, Shoy Chassidim. He was called Katanta because he was the least of the Chassidim, which means, Rashi says, like the Chassidim was getting fewer and fewer Chassidim. He was the last of that breed. Therefore, he's called Katanta. The Rambam has a different explanation. The Rambam says that it's meant in praise of him. It's meant just like a tree begins from a tiny little root. So he's like the root. He's like the source of all the Chassidim. Mishemesh Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai Botel Ziva Chochma. When Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai passed away, the splendor, the beauty of Chochma disappeared. And Rashi says, I don't know what that means. So different Mephoshim talk about different possibilities. First of all, why doesn't Rashi know later on in the Mishnah, in the next line of the Mishnah, we have Ziva Kavuna, and Rashi gives an explanation for that. So when we do that one, I'll explain something that Eva says about it. But as far as what Ziva Chochma could mean, various Mephoshim give different possibilities. It means the fact that Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai was not only skilled in Torah, but also in the ways of the world. We'll have the story in Gittin in a couple of months, the famous story of how he met Achashyonos and convinced him to spare the city of Yavne and the Chachamim and a couple of other things. You have the fact that Rabbi Yechon and the other Mephoshim point to the fact that Gemara mentions in different places that Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai was expert in everything, in Torah and in all the sciences, Mahabdil, and he had Sichas Tikolim, Sichas Malach HaSharis, and everything. All that is a glory to the Torah. And then Ben Yoyada talks about the idea that Chochmas Adam, Torah Ponev, the Chochma of a person lights up his face. He had a glowing face from the Torah. That after him, you don't have that. When Rabbi Gamliel Azokin passed away, the covet of the Torah disappeared. Here we don't mean the same as the covet of the Torah from Rabbi Akiva. This is a different covet of Torah. Rashi explains, based on a Gemara in Megillah, that originally they used to learn Torah standing up. After Rabbi Gamliel Azokin passed away, this is about 20 years before the Churban, people started getting weaker. From then on, they didn't have the energy to learn Torah standing, so therefore people sit when they learn. It was a covet to the Torah to learn it standing. Umesa Taro Prishus, and Taro and Prishus died. The word the expression died, a different Mephoshim talk about, there's also a Sikha where the Rebbe talks about it, that it doesn't mean it disappeared altogether, unlike some of these other things. It means like the neshama left it. Like you still have the outward form of Tahara and Prishus, but like the inner aspect of it disappeared with him. Mishmeser Rishmol ben Pavi, Botla Zivakonim. When Rishmol ben Pavi passed away, he was one of the last Kohanim Zolim in the time of the Second Beth Mikdash. When he passed away, Botla Zivakohuna, the splendor, the glory of the Kohuna disappeared. So here Rashi says that Zivakohuna means he was a Chacham, he was rich, many Kohanim ate by his table. Then when he passed away, there's nothing more like that anymore. So the Rebbe talks about Nesicha. So why didn't Rashi use the same explanation for Rabbi Yehudah Zakkai, that Ziva Chochma means that he was a Chochma and he had many people eating by his table? The Rebbe says, because practically speaking, during the siege of Yerushalayim and the famine and everything, and afterwards, you can't say that many people were eating by his table, and you can't say that it means it disappeared at the time of the siege, because Rabbi Yehudah Zakkai was still alive. If the Mishnah is saying, you should mess Rabbi Yehudah Zakkai, bottle Ziva Chochma, then it can't mean the same kind of thing that many people ate at his table, and therefore Rashi can't use that explanation. When Rabbi passed away, humility and fear of Averis went away. So obviously this last line was added after Rabbi passed away. The other lines could be from Rabbi himself. Okay, so here, the printed thing over here says that over here starts the Gemara, but in the Mishnayos actually, this part from here and until the middle of the next Amud is still part of the Mishnah. So there's different possibilities that the portion discusses. Is it really part of the Mishnah? Is it maybe a Braisa that it was tacked on? After the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, Barshu Chaverim u'Bnei Chorin, the Chaverim, meaning Tzemer Chachamim, and the Bnei Chorin, the people who have Yichus, became ashamed. B'chofu Roshim, and their heads are covered in shame. Why? Because the Azeponim, the Chutzvedika people, are now in charge. And who do the Azeponim tend to be? They tend to be the Mamzerim. They're the rich guys, and the Chassidim, and the Chaverim, and the Bnei Chorin are the poor people. Therefore, like, they have to hide themselves in shame. And the people of Maisa are weakened, like nobody pays attention to them, the people of great Maisim. But Gobru Bali Zroyo Bali Loshan, the people who use the power of their arm and the power of their tongue to be tough guys in power and in speech are powerful. That in Dirdish Vein Mavakish Vein Shoil, nobody is looking out for the Jewish people, nobody is davening for Rachmanis for them, nobody is asking for Mashiach to come. There's different explanations why these three expressions. Marshall says it means, Marshall says that it means that you have also, I mean, it doesn't mean among the Jewish people, Marshall says, it means among the nations of the world. Nobody is looking out for the Jewish people in this world. Nobody, that's in Dirdish, in Mavakish, nobody is asking at the level of the Mazalos, the good of the Jewish people. In Shoyal, nobody is begging by the Eivishter, nobody is begging in the Oilam Esaruchniyim for the sake of the Jewish people. But they should, by rights, they should realize, they should.
How do you know that nobody's
begging
the Eidishter people privately, silently, and
you're not? Okay, but the Chachamim, if you're Pinchas Ben Yair, saying this, you have to know, right?
Right.
Yeah. Al Milon Ali Shon, Al Avinu Shebashmaim. So who do we have to rely on? We have to rely on the Eidishter. Now, there is a very famous vort, though, that says that actually there's a vort that's brought from a Chaim Volozhiner and Rav Itzel Volozhiner, his son, that says that that's actually part of the problem. When people give up and say, you know what, we can't do anything, we have to rely on the Eidishter, that's part of the problem itself. Then I've also mentioned this once in a Sikha. What do you mean? If there's something that you have to accomplish, you go and accomplish it. Don't say it's up to the Eidishter to do things. You got to go and accomplish what you can in the world. Don't leave it up to the Eidishter.
Wait a minute. We're talking about the going not.
No, we're talking. We're talking about whatever the different things we're talking about. That the Bali Zroya are in charge. That the Chaverim are embarrassed. That the Chutzpahdika people are in charge or whatever. To a certain extent, it's our job to do something about it.
Not just
in charge. Well, there's that, but also in general, not just to give up and say, you know what, the Eved should run the world too bad. Yeah. Ever since the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, the Tamar Chachamim have gone down a level, and now they're like the school teachers. The Safraya to Chazanaya, the school teachers have also gone down a level, and now they're like the Chazanim, meaning the community Shamoshim, like the civil servants. The Chazanaya to Amadahara, the Chazanim have become like the Amei Aretz. The Amadahara also the Dildala, and the Amei Aretz are just getting more and more disgraced and degraded. Rashi has the gifts of a Nabla instead of a Jildala. And again, Vain Shoil, Vain Mavakish, nobody's asking that it should get any better, nobody's looking out for to try and improve things. Al Miyash Le Yishon, Al Avinash Hashmayim, who do we have to rely on in the Eidishter? Again, on one level, the Mishnah is telling us that in a time like that, Taka, there's nobody to rely on but the Eidishter. And one of the Mefarshim actually says, the point of the Mishnah saying, and it's going to say it a third time as well, is the Gemara mentioned someplace else that normally a person is not supposed to usually appeal to the Eidishter for justice. You appeal to the Batei Dinim on earth. It's wrong to say about somebody, this guy is harassing me, Hashem, punish him. You're not supposed to do that. We find that Sara said it about Abraham, and she passed away before him. But in a time, times like these, when the institutions on earth are corrupt, then Taka, you have no choice. I'll leave on the shore and I'll finish with mine. It's fine to say I'm leaving it up to the Eibishter to deal with these guys because there's no address on earth that we can bring it to.
You shouldn't say
no, so ordinary, in good times, you shouldn't say hey, it's to punish him. But in times like this, one of the Mepharshim says that's what the Gemara means. I'll be long in the Shalom, I'll be sure to find what? That's the point. Then you can appeal to the Eibishter. Then, yeah, that's what we're saying. Continues the Mishnah and the Braita, and this is actually brought in Sanhedrin as well as part of a whole discussion about the Ikris Mishicha in the footsteps of Mashiach at the time, at the end of Golos. Chutzpah Yiske, Chutzpah will increase. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman wrote a sefer called the Ikvus Mashiach, where he discusses a lot of these things. He says that one thing chutzpah yiske means, besides the simple meaning that chutzpah will increase, he says it means also at a time like that, who are gonna be, a person doesn't need any qualifications to be a leader. All he needs as qualifications is that he has chutzpah. The Yoytu Yamir and prices will soar. There'll be inflation. Different than in Sanhedrin, Rashi has a couple of different other explanations. What Yoker Yamir means, Yoker Yavis is a gist over there, like the leading people, the important people are going to be corrupt, etc. Hagefen Titin Piria, the grapevines will be giving their fruit, but Ayayim Beyoker, but wine will be expensive. The Rashi says over here because everybody's going to be drinking wine, so it raises the price because there's a large demand for it. Over there, Rashi says another possibility that it means even though the grapevines are going to be producing fruit, it's not going to be very good fruit. So you're not going to get much wine out of it, and therefore prices go up. Umalchus tehofech minus, the kingdom, the world empire, will turn to minus, to heresy. The ein techachas, and there's not going to be anybody to give musr. Nobody's going to be able to give techacha musr to somebody else because everybody's doing averis. Usually in the Gemara, minus actually specifically means the ideas that are a distortion of Yiddishkeit, like the ideas of Christianity and other such religions. I mean, Rabbi Eliezer is saying this. He was living at a time when the Roman Empire was pagan. 200 years after his time, they became Christian. That's one stage in this Malchus Tehofech Minus. But I guess there's different stages in it, I guess. The base of Vav, the place where the Chachamim assemble to learn, will become a place of Znus. So Rashi says because it will be abandoned. Nobody will be learning Torah in great numbers like that. Therefore, these places will be abandoned. Hello? And they'll be perfect places for people to use for Znus. Because they're usually outside the city. The Galil, the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, will be destroyed. Gavlon Yishon, the Gavlon, which is a region in or near Eretz Yisrael. Some people say it's Har Seir, some people say it's the Golan Heights. Different possibilities. Yishon will be desolate. The Amshag Bul Yisrael will be year to year. The people of the borders of Eretz Yisrael will be going around from city to city to ask for help. V'lo Yechanenu, and nobody's going to have Rachmanis on them. In the times before Mashiach, the Ikvus Mashiach, yeah. The Chochma Sofrim Tisrach, the Chochma of the Sofrim, of the Tamina Chachamim Tisrach, will be considered repulsive, like nobody will care for them. The Yirichet Yimasu, the people who fear sin will be considered disgusting, will be considered vile. Emes Tehe Nederes, and truth will be Nederes. So Nederes, the simple meaning of Nederes means disappear. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin actually says it means it'll become adorim adorim, like groups by groups. But Marsha says over there it means like the people who are committed to emes are not going to find a place for themselves in society. They're going to have to like go out into the desert to form communities over there because it's the only place where they can keep to an emes. There's a different explanation. I once saw that adorim adorim means you're going to have at the time before Mashiach comes, you're going to have many different factions, each of which claims I'm the only one that has the truth. There's going to be majority, groups and groups, each of which I have the MS, and you don't, yeah. Na'orim p'nei z'kenim yalbinu, young people will embarrass the faces of the elders, they won't have respect for them. Z'kenim yamdu v'mektanim, elder people will have to stand up in the presence of the younger ones. Bein menaval av, a son disgraces his father. Bas koma b'ima, the daughter rises up against her mother. Kala b'chamosa, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Oy v'ish anshe besoy, a person's enemies will be in his own household. P'nei adur k'p'nei akelev, the face of the generation will be like the face of a dog. What does that mean? Before we'll get to at the end of the Mishnah some positive aspects of all of this that the Rebbe talks about, and then Yehuda talks about. But first, let's learn straight. So Pnei Adarka Pnei Akela, Rabbi Hanan Wasserman brings two interesting things about it. He says one is a vort that I think I've mentioned this before. Like when a person is walking the dog walks in front. It looks like it's the one leading, but every so often it turns around to see where its master wants to go. So like the so-called leaders of these times are going to be people who just follow popular opinion rather than actually leading. They take opinion polls and then they follow that, right? And then there's another explanation of it that's brought up, also I think from the Chafetz Chaim or Joel Salanter or somebody, that says if you hit a dog with a stick, it doesn't attack the person, it attacks the stick. It thinks that the stick is what, doesn't realize that it's a person that hit him, he thinks it's a stick. The same way, when troubles happen to the Jewish people, it's going to be a time when instead of looking for the root cause, realizing that it's the Eidishter who's causing it, we're going to be looking for that it's because of this lousy politician, or it's because of that terrible group or whatever, without realizing who's manipulating the stick. Yeah. Haben einem ist bayish ma'aviv. A son is not going to be embarrassed of his father. So what do we have to rely on? Alavinu shebashamayim on the Eidishter. So, with this last part, some positive angles on it, then Yehuda brings a number of positive angles on it. One is, among them, he says, is when we say that the young will embarrass the elders, it means, a positive side of it means the achievements of the young will overshadow that of their elders. So yes, their elders will be embarrassed of them, like, why couldn't we accomplish as much? And the children will effectively will be teaching their parents. And he says also, for example, when it says bas tama be'ima, a daughter, he says it doesn't mean in a positive sense, if she not rises up against her mother, but rises up in respect for her mother. Even a mother-in-law and daughter-in-law who usually hate each other, the ikhmas mashiach, there'll be a certain respect between them, and the daughter-in-law will get up for the mother-in-law. And yeah, they say a few different things like that. The Rebbe, this is Ben Yoyada says this. The Rebbe, in a bunch of sichas, talked about many aspects of this. Further, the Gemara itself, actually, in Sanhedrin, says at least one positive thing of this, the Malchus Tehafach Luminus business, is it's al derech, like when a Metzora is completely covered with Sarat, head to toe, then he's Tahor. Kulei Hafach Lavan Tahor Hu. The same way with the Malchus, when the major government of that time turns to Minus, then you know that then it means the time Tahor is coming very close. In a way it can't get any worse. In a way it's also considered, there's the idea like all the evils are now coming to the surface where they can be more easily dealt with. But anyway, the Rebbe a lot of times talks about the idea, the positive aspect of chutz v'yizkei and this whole business of the children being against their parents and all means we're talking about the whole concept, for example, when you have children rebel against their parents beginning in the 60s and became Baalei Teshuva. They had tremendous chutzpah to say we're throwing away all that lifestyle that we were raised in, and we're coming back to the real thing. That's
good.
So chutzpah is a good thing. Yeah. Actually, there's a famous verse I once heard here in Pirkei Avos. When it says as ponim legehenim or brishis ponim legan Eden, I've heard a chassidish verse about it. The as ponim is the one who can go on shlichos into gehenim and accomplish something over there. The brishis ponim, the one who's shamefaced, fine, let him stay in the Gan Eden of Crown Heights or Krachabad or what have you, and not engage with the outside world. Yeah. Oh, interesting. But on the other hand, there's also that idea from Rav Chaim Volozhiner and the others that it means, on the other hand, the Mishnah is criticizing. Don't just sit back with folded hands and say we have to rely on the Eidishter. We have work to do in all these cases. We have the positive aspect of all these things to use.
Nothing gets done.
Okay, so Gemara says, going back to the beginning of the Mishnah, had said that that you're in the pulmus, or in the war, or the era, or whatever, of Aspasianus, shortly before the Churban, they made a gzera that chassanim are not to wear tiaras, atres. So, Amar Rav, l'shanu elashal melech l'gofris, this is only talking about crowns made out of salt and sulfur. So Rashi explains they would carve a crown, a tiara, out of salt, out of rock salt, and then they would decorate it with engravings made with sulfur. In Gittin, next week, Be'ez Hashem, we'll have a discussion about it in Gittin. Rashi gives a different explanation that the crown itself is made out of metal and it's decorated with salt and sulfur. Av shel hadas v'shel vered mutter, but a crown, a tiara, a crown, a tiara, whatever, made out of hadasim, made out of roses, is mutter. Shmuel and Avshal to Hadas Shaber Dosser. Shmuel said no, also a tiara made out of Hadas or roses is also. However, Shalkanim, Shalchilas Mutter, if it's made out of reeds or rushes, like the cheap water plants or whatever, then.
Rushes,
it's called, yeah. Then it's Mutter. The Levi Yama Avshal Kanim Shalchilas also. So Levi says no, even if reeds or rushes is also. The Chain Tony Levi B'masnei. In fact, that's how Levi taught in his collection of Brises, which was like his version of the Mishnah, sort of. That actual kind of Mishachilas also. That when the Mishnah says that crowns of Chasanim also means any kind, even those kinds. Okay, the Mishnah said about Irus, that they also made a Zera that you're not allowed to use an Irus, my Irus. Amar Rav Loza Tavla Dechad Puma. It means a bell with one clapper. They used to use it for playing music at weddings. And then, therefore, so they banned it as an expression of simcha. Pigmar tells, Rabba Barapona Obedle Bre Tanbura. Rabba Barapona made a tanbura, which is a tambourine for his son, for his wedding, I guess. Also Avua, so his father, Rabuna, came tavern and he broke it. Amalei, he says, you can't use that. Mechwas the tabla, the chatpuma. It's very easy to confuse it with that bell, with that bell, because they have a similar sound. Those people hear you playing this tambourine at the wedding, people are going to think that you're playing on an Irus, and we said the Chachamim said an Irus is also. Zil Ovidle, Apuma de Chasva, Apuma de Kapiza. What you should do is, if you want to beat out a tune, if you want to have a drum, take a chasva, a barrel, or a kapiza, a measuring container that holds three lugim, stretch some skin over that, and use that as a drum. That sounds much different than an Irus, and therefore nobody's going to think it's anything similar. As opposed to beating on a tamibura, sounds too similar.
An Irus is like what?
An Irus is a bell. Well, there are the Mechoshim, the Yidi has an explanation that an Irus is something I didn't quite understand. What he says, it's something that has a mouthpiece and only one opening, and it sounds like something between a shofar and a buzzing or something, so maybe like a kazoo or something, I don't know. A wind instrument, obviously, of some kind, maybe something like a kazoo or a harmonica or something, I don't know, whatever. We said the pulmus shall titus gozer al apis kalas. Told her that during the pulmus of titus, either, again, this means the war of Hothinus and Aristobulus, of the Hashmonaim, 100 odd years before the Korban, or it means this war of titus, 50 years after the Korban, or it means the war of titus, the immediate thing before the Korban, whatever. At that point, gozer al apis kalas. Told her we said that they made exeter that kalas are not allowed to wear crowns. So my apis kalas, what do we mean by these crowns? It means a city of gold. It means, so Rashi says it means a golden tiara with an image of the city, like the city of Yerushalayim, engraved on it. Famous thing that Rabbi Akiva made one for his wife. Tani Nami Hachi, Ezeu Atris Kalis, what are Atris Kalis? Irshal Zahav, is this Irshal Zahav? By the way, Rashi over here says it means a tiara. There's a different explanation in Shabbos, because Gemara talks about it also in connection with Hilchos Shabbos, that maybe it's not a tiara, but a brooch. As a pin onto your clothes that has an image of your shalim on it. Anyway, Tanei Nami Hachi, Ezeu Atris Kalis, Irshal Zahav. However, Aval Oizo is a Kippah Shal Milas, that you're allowed to make for a kala a cap made out of fine wool. That's not under the gzera of Atris Kalis. Tana, we learn in a braisa, Alpha Chupas Chasanim goes through. They also made a gzera about the chuppah, about the canopy of Chasanim. My chuppah chasanim, so what do we mean? Obviously, we use a chuppah nowadays. It means zahodus hamuz havos. It means that you have, it's made out of silk or other kind of material, dyed scarlet. Yeah, Rashi says it's dyed scarlet, and there are golden pieces on it. They set up as a chuppah. They have a piece of scarlet, red-colored material with gold bars attached to it. Yeah, so you can't do that. Aval osa papyrus, but you can make a framework out of sticks. Vitolaba komasha. You understand? You can hang on it whatever you want, which is basically how we make a chuppah nowadays. We said in the mission of Shaloyalamad is Bnei Yevonis, that also the Chachamim made Xeda at the time of this pulmus of Titus, that a person is not allowed to teach his son Greek. So what's the backstory? Tanan Abanim. The Gemara tells a story in three different places. When the kings of the Hashmonaim besieged or warred against each other, this is already, we're talking about the great grandsons, great great grandsons of Matusiahu. Several generations later, there are these two brothers, Hukinus and Stabilus, who were fighting over the crown. So Hukinus is on the outside of Yerushalayim, and Aristobulus is on the inside. Or maybe actually I think it was outside and inside means of the Harabayit. Whatever it is, the Choyim V'yayim Ha'yim Mishalshim of Jinner is the Kupa. Every day, now the people of Aristotle is inside, they still have to bring the daily carbonus. So every day they would send down money in a box, a model transmitted, and the people from a hook in a society on the outside would send up a lamb for the carbon chopping. Among Aristobulus' people, there was an old man who was familiar with Chochmas Yevonis. What is Chochmas Yevonis? So Rashi says it means some kind of Loshen Chochma. It's some kind of secret language that people in palaces and whatever, like nobles, talk in it. The general public doesn't know it. Different Mephoshim talk about the possibility that we're talking about some sort of sign language, or are we talking about some kind of like a secret code language or something, like you say one thing and people understand from it something else. Anyway, Laz Lahem B'Chachmas Yevonis, so he signaled or spoke to them in the Chachmas Yevonis. He said, Amalahem, he said to the guys outside, he was a turncoat, he's on their side, secretly. He said to them, Kozman Sha'oskim Avoda, and in front of the Yechem, as long as these guys are established people, of doing the avoda, as long as they're bringing the carbon chumit every day, and they're not going to be handed over into your hands. That chutz is protecting them. So you've got to find a way to make sure they don't bring the carbon chumit. So the next day they sent down the box of money, the basket of money, and instead the people on the outside sent up a chazir. When that chazir reached in the basket halfway up the wall, not the pona, but stuck its hooves into the wall, like resisting going up, and the whole Eretz Yisrael, 400 by 400 parsa, shook. It was an earthquake, Pasha, showing, Rashi says it shows, the Eibishter was displeased, the Eibishter was angry about the Chilul Hashem that was caused over here. Marsha says, by the way, there's a remez in this, that this whole story, this whole war between Hook and Aristobulus, eventually one of them, actually I think both of them, called the Romans in to mediate it, and the Romans entered Eretz Yisrael and never left.
When was that?
We're talking about 130, 140 years before the Churban.
So, when they were fighting, was that a peaceful fight or was it a fight?
No, they were fighting. It was an actual war. It was an actual war. So Marshall says that the symbolism of the fact that they sent him a pig and it stuck its hooves into the wall, because in various places in Midrashim, a pig is a representative of Esav, of Edom. Famous thing, a pig sits over there with its hooves stuck out, and it split hooves as if to say, I'm kosher, when really it isn't true, it's cut and it's not. And the same way the Romans pretend to be this great civilized people, and really they're nothing but a bunch of barbarians. So therefore, the pig sticking its hooves into the wall represents the idea. We don't read this on Tisha B'Av, as far as I know. It's one of the things we're allowed to learn Tisha B'Av, I don't know. So the pig sticking its hooves into the wall represents the Romans taking over Eretz Yisrael. At that time, the Chachamim said, Order Adam Shigabah Chazirim, curse to the person who raises pigs, but also the order Adam Shilam Lubnai Chachmas Yevonis, and curse to the person who teaches his son Chachmas Yevonis. It's also about that year that we learn in a Mishnah. Chochmas Yevonis we're talking about. The Gemara is going to say soon, there's a distinction between Loshen Yevonis and Chochmas Yevonis. Chochmas Yevonis is the secret language that we're talking about. And even now, I was going to talk about those exceptions. Wait, what?
Sorry, mythology?
No, not that could be mythology per se. You couldn't use that for secret communication. So it may mean something. It could be some kind of secret, some kind of secret code language they had, or sort of.
Could it be mathematics or something like that?
Nah. Mephoshim talk about that. Maybe to a certain extent, there's an issue against Greek philosophy for other reasons, but not because of what we're saying over here. And it was about that time that we learned in a Mishnah in Menachos, once upon a time it happened, they had to bring the korban ha'omer, the barley for the omer, from Gagus Tzrifim, the name of the place, and the shtei lechem, the wheat for it, they had to bring from Bikas, from the valley of Ein Socher, which are places far away from Yerushalayim. Usually they bring them from the fields near Yerushalayim. But in this case, because of the war, all the fields near Yerushalayim had been devastated. And Josephus adds, when he tells the story, that also there was a crop failure, there was a natural disaster that made things. So therefore, they had to bring the korban ha'omer and the shtei lechem from far away. So we see that's the backstory. That's why when our Mishnah says that a person that at the time of the war of teachers, they made it say that a person should not teach his son Yevonis, that's what we're talking about. That doesn't mean Yevonis the language, it means Chochmas Yevonis. Well, we don't know yet that. Yet. At this point, we think that Chochmas Yevonis and Loshen Yevonis are the same thing. We're going to address that in a minute. First, we'll talk about the question. If we're saying that all this happened at the Pulmus of Titus, if we say that the Pulmus of Titus is the war right before the Churban, the Hashmonaim again, 130, 140 years before that. So if they already made the Gzeira then, so what are they adding? So one answer is that they made the Gzeira at that time and people didn't generally accept it. At the time of the Churban, they remade the Gzeira and this time it stuck. But that could also be why Rashi says, why Rashi equates the two, that the Pulmus of Titus means the war of Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. Because that explains, they only made the Gzeira once. Okay, you might ask, Amy, so you're telling me that's so, that you're not allowed to you're not allowed to teach your children Greek? Well, I'm a Rebbe, but we find that Rebbe said, the Eretz Yisrael, Lashon Sursi Lama. In Eretz Yisrael, why should you bother speaking Lashon Sursi? Lashon Sursi, Rashi says, is a dialect of Aramaic. It's the dialect in which that the Yerushalmi is written in. Sursi means Syriac, like the language of Syria. So in Eretz Yisrael, why bother speaking that language? It's not a very refined language. Ela, e Lashon HaKodesh, e Lashon Yevonis. Either you should speak Lashon Kodesh, or you should speak Greek, which is a very beautiful language. Also, Rashi says that Greece is close to Eretz Yisrael, and it's a beautiful language. Yeah, we learned about that in Megillah, yeah. And the Omer of Yosef, and by the way, Rav Yosef said a similar thing, Bava Lashon Arami Lama. Why does anybody in Bava bother speaking Lashon Arami, which is, again, like a common language? Ela, O Lashon HaKodesh, O Lashon Parsi. Better you should be speaking Lashon Kodesh, or you should be speaking Persian, the language of the people who are ruling over Bava. Anyway, the point is, Rebbe is saying that in Eretz Yisrael, it's a valid thing to speak Greek. So what do you mean it's also to teach your son Greek? Mm. The answer is, Loshen Yevonis v'chod v'chochmas Yevonis v'chod. There's a difference between the Greek language and the chochma of Yevonim. The Greek language, fine, that's what Rebbe is saying. Chochmas Yevonis, that's what they made the Isser against. Okay, the question is, chochmas Yevonis miyasira? Still, is chochmas Yevonis also? V'amar Rav Yehuda ha-mashmur, mashum Rav Shimon Gamliel, my dichtiv, actually, Rashi doesn't say, isn't verse the word, my dichtiv, but whatever the pasuk says in Eicha, any ola lola nafshi, my eye is making me unattractive, my eyes from crying are making me unattractive, degraded, mikol b'noi siri, more than, or because of what happened to the people of my city. What does this mean? Elif yaladim hoyu b'beis abad, or Rav Shimon Gamliel says, there were 1,000 children learning in my father's household, in Rav Shimon Gamliel's household. Chomesh me'es lom the Torah, 500 of them were learning Torah. The Chomesh me'es lom the Chochmas Yevonis, 500 of them were being taught Chochmas Yevonis. No, but Pashtus, it means like 500 were focusing exclusively on Torah, and the other 500 are focusing on Chochmas Yevonis, but they're learning Torah as well. The point was, in order to, as the Gemara is going to say in a minute, they needed Chochmas Yevonis in order to deal with the government. And now, after all the wars and after all the disasters, now all that's left of those 1,000 is me over here in Eretz Yisrael and my cousin in Essia, in Turkey, what's nowadays Turkey. So that's what he's crying about. Look what happened, that all these other 998 children that were learning over there were all killed. So anyway, we see that 500 of them were learning Chochmas Yevonis. So obviously it's not a problem. The answer is shiny. It's different. The household of Rav Gamliel, the people who are being educated by Rav Gamliel, because they're close to the government. The Rav Gamliel, the Nasi, and the various members of his family have to deal with the government a lot. They have to learn Chochmas Yevonis in order to be able to deal effectively with the Romans and the Greeks and whatever. But the average person, no. The Tanya, similar to what we learn in a Braisa. Mitzapu koimi harezi medafei amori, to cut your hair in a goyish style. Mitzapu koimi, Rashi says, means that you cut the hair in front and you leave a blurus, you leave a long chup in the back. It was a Greek or Roman or whatever hairstyle. Harezi medafei amori, this is also, it's a way of the goyim. However, Abtulus ben Reuven, he tiro losapu kumim neshu kar v'malchus, but they allowed Abtulus ben Reuven to cut his hair in that style, so he's close to the government. Again, he needs to interact with them a lot in order to defend and help the Jewish people, and therefore they expected him to wear their hairstyle. Similarly, Shabbat Shem Gamliel, he tiro them chachmas yivonis, refesh kar v'malchus. The same way, the household of Shem Gamliel, they allowed them to learn chachmas yivonis because they're close to the government, but ordinary people not. Maybe, maybe not. I mean, in those days, people usually wore some kind of hat anyway. So. We said in the mission of Apulmos Ahron during the last war, Gozer Shalakes Akalan Ba'apirion Kula, they made Xeda that Akala is not allowed to go out in a litter surrounded by beautiful cloth. However, we said that Rabbi Seder allowed it. My timer, why did they allow it? Mission Sneerusa, because it's Sneerusa, because you don't want her to be exposed to the public while she's walking to her husband's house. Especially, we learned in Ksubas that Akala of Sula goes with her hair uncovered, so there should still be some kind of covering around her. Mishnah said Mishnah Master Yechon and Zakai. That is Bapla Chachman. We went through the whole list of Chachamim that each one of them, when they passed away, some great milo disappeared. Tanarabon, we learned a Braisa, expanding on it a little. Mishnah Master Rabbi Eliezer Nignas Sefer Torah. When Rabbi Eliezer passed away, the Sefer Torah was hidden away. Rabbi Eliezer knew a tremendous amount of halachas that he learned from his Rebbeim. It was written as clearly, he knew it as clearly as if it's written in a Sefer Torah. It actually quotes from Gemara and Sanhedrin, where Rabbi Eliezer says, I know 3,000 halachas alone, and the halachas of planting cucumbers my magic. So he knew a tremendous amount of Torah, as if it was all written in a sefer. So when he passed away, all that was lost. Yeah. And Shmuel and Behera Thazer, yeah. Mishemet Rabbi Yeshua Batla Eitzu Machshava. When Rabbi Yeshua passed away, advice and thought was bottle, because Rashi brings from Gemara and Chagigah and some other places that Rabbi Yeshua was expert at arguing against the Goyim and refuting their accusations and then whatever against the Jewish people. Mishmas Rabbi Akiva bottle Zroya Torah. When Rabbi Akiva passed away, the arms of the Torah were bottle. Again, the svara, the depth, the svara to be able to figure out Torah Shabbal Peh from Darshaning the Pesukim and the extra letters and whatever. And the wellsprings of Chochma were closed up. One interesting explanation they give is Rabbi Eliezer, where the Gemara mentions in various places, he never said anything that he hadn't heard explicitly from his Rebbe. Therefore, he's like a Sefer Torah, everything's written clearly. Rabbi Akiva used to dash in, he would open up Horem Betochen and Zubazu, he's grinding up mountains against each other with this tremendous power of Svara, so he's Zroye Torah, he's like the arms that support the Torah. Mishmaster Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Bapla Atres Chochma. When Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah passed away, the crown of Chochma disappeared. Sha'ateras Chachamim Ashram, because the crown of Chachamim is their wealth. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was tremendously wealthy. Mishmaster Rabbi Chananim and Dosa Bapla Anshemaisa, we said him in Ateras Chochma, the crown of Chochma. Ateras Chachamim Ashram, the crown of Chachamim is when they have wealth to go along with it. And then now after that, you don't have it. Mishmash Rabbi Chananim and Dosa Bapla Anshemaisa. After Rabbi Chananim and Dosa passed away, the Anshemaisa ceased. As we said in the Mishnah, the Rashi said it meant people who can depend on the Eivishta to do anything they want. Mishmash Abba Yosef and Katonja Bapla Chasidim. The Chasidim disappeared. Volomen Kishma Abba Yosef and Katonja. As we said in the Mishnah, Shreem of Tani Chasidim. He was the smallest of the Chasidim. Either Rashi says he was the last of them, or the Rambam says he was like a root, the source of all of them. Mishmes ben Azai Bapla Shechdonin, when Ben Azai passed away, the Shechdonin, the people who are diligent in single-minded focus on learning Torah, disappeared. Mishmes ben Zoyman Bapla Darshanin, when Ben Zoyman passed away, the famous Darshanim disappeared. He was an expert at Darshaning the Pesukim and learning halachas from them. We say every year in the Haggadah, Omer V'loz Ben Azai, Harinik Ben Shanov, L'Lachisi, Atcha Drasha Ben Zoyman. Mishmes Rav Shimon Gamliel, Ola Goyvai V'Dabud Tzores, when Rav Shimon Gamliel passed away, locusts came and Tzores multiplied. Mishmes Rebbe Huchpulu Tzoras. And when Rebbe passed away, the troubles were multiplied. The troubles were doubled. The Mishnah finished off Mishmes Rebbe Bapla Anova V'Yiraschet. But when Rebbe passed away, Anova and Yiraschet disappeared. However, Amalei Rav Yosef Otana, Letisni Anova Di'ika Anova. Don't learn in the Mishnah, don't teach in the Mishnah that Anova disappeared because I'm here. And Amalei Rav Nachman Otana, and similarly the way, Rav Nachman tells the Tana, and you don't think a whole bunch of people before you have come up with the same question. Wait, Amalei Rav Nachman the Tana, and similarly Rav Nachman says the Tana in his yeshiva, Lo'tishni Yiraschet Yekana, don't mention Yiraschet because there's me. So what do they mean by that? Everybody has their own take on it. Marshall says to start with, look, I mean, you can't have these Tanaim can't be saying a lie. If there is an honor or a Yerechei, then they can't be saying it. And besides which, at least in the case of Rabbi Yosef, it's not really such an advantage. We said in the Mishnah that Yerechei Yimasu, the people of Yerechet, are going to be thought repulsive. So therefore, he's not getting himself any covered by saying he's a Yerechei. Rav Nachman, that is saying that he's a Yerechei. But there's a vast number of other explanations, including an interesting, there's a cute one brought from the Vilna Gaon, that there was an Amoda who was mentioned someplace in Yerushalmi named Anah. So they're saying, don't say Anah, don't say that Anah is a Yerechei, because there's Anah. There's that Amoda who's named Anah, who's a tremendous Anah, and similarly with Yerechei. But among others, there's an explanation that's brought by a bunch of Achroinim that says, but look, being an Onav doesn't mean not knowing what you really are. If Rav Yosef knows that he's really an Onav, then yes, that's it. Just like it said, just like Moshe had to write about himself in the Torah, Vosh Moshe Onav Moed, the same thing Rav Yosef has to say on himself, if that's truly what he is, that he's an Onav. The Rebbe talks about that in the Sikha and expands on it at some length that besides the idea that each one of them knew their Mila and therefore kind of is obligated to say it, the Rebbe also focuses on the idea. So Rabbi Yosef, what we're saying in the Mishnah is that Rebbe had Anova and Yirashet together. Rabbi Yosef is saying, yes, I have Anova, and I also have Yirashet, but my Yirashet is not something that I can take any credit for, because it's sort of, the Rebbe explains in the Sicha, it's sort of like it comes from an external factor. It comes from the fact that I learned Torah, and therefore I became a Yirashet. So I can't truly say that I'm a natural Yirashet. And the same way, Reb Nachman says that I'm a Yorechet. But what do we have? There's a famous story of Reb Nachman in Shabbos, that before he was born, astrologers told his mother he's going to grow up to be a Ganav. So his mother made sure he always wears a yarmulke, so he'll have Yiras Shemayim. So he's actually developed into a tremendous Yorechet. But on the other hand, so that led to Anova as well. But it's not a natural thing. And therefore also Rabbi Yosef can't say don't say Yirashet because those are Nachman, because Rabbi Nachman's Yirashet is only an outgrowth of the fact he's wearing the yarmulke. It's not the kind of Yirashet that's inborn. Whatever. So the Rebbe has a whole long sikha about all the pros and cons. In a way, but we're talking about over here this person personifies that sort of, and that's it. There's a different sikha also where the Rebbe talks about the idea that Yosef and the names Yosef and Nachman both have to do with the Yosef Hashem li bein Acher, that even Acher becomes the son of the Eved Nachman, comforting the Jewish people, and therefore their names are appropriate for this to say that don't think the Mishnah finishes off Mishmetzvevi Bopla Anovim Yerechet, don't think the situation is hopeless. No, don't worry, there are still Anovim and there are still Yerechet in the world. The Rebbe says this in a different sikha. So, at the bottom of the page, you have over here that in some versions of the Mishnayos, they have also the following thing, which seems to be a Braisa. When we say Tikkun Leil Shavuos, we also say this, so we'll learn it. Rav Pinchas ben Yoremer, Zehirus mevi l'gei Zrizus, carefulness brings to Zrizus, to being quick to do mitzvahs. Was the hero of Zrizus maybe the Nikius? Zrizus brings to cleanliness, and Nikius maybe the Tara, which brings to purity, but Tara maybe the Precious, which brings to being a Parush. Or Precious maybe the Kedusha, brings you to being holy, or Kedusha maybe the Anava, brings you to be humble, the Anava maybe the Yerachet, brings you to fear sin, the Yerachet maybe the Chsidus, that brings you to be a Chosid, the Chsidus maybe the Ruach HaKadosh, which in turn brings the person to the level of Ruach HaKadosh, the Ruach HaKadosh maybe the Tchias HaMesim, which brings to Tchias HaMesim, meaning that one meaning of it, meaning that a person who has Ruach HaKadosh has the ability to be Mechai HaMesim, or Tchias HaMesim, and how is Tchias HaMesim going to happen? Through El Yo, the Mehid of Yemenu, Yo will be going to come, Kenny Yerach. So, what's the relevance of it over here? Marshall says one possibility. The relevance of it is, he says, since the Mishnah has been saying that all these great milas disappeared when these various Tanoim and Amiroim passed away, we want to say, don't think now it's impossible, for example, to be an Onav or a Yerashet. It is possible. You have to work at it, but you can work on it following these steps of the Pinchas ben Yair.
He lived when?
Repentance when Yerub lives at the end of the time of the Tanoim. So we had him in the Mishnah as well, although that Mishnah may really be a bright as well. The Gemara says he was the son-in-law of Rav Shimon ben Yochai. The Zohar says actually he was his father-in-law. But yeah, so he was in that period. This Braitha, by the way, is also brought in Avodah Zarah, and there's several different explanations of what each of these levels means. Rashi, for example, says that Zahirus means that you're careful to not stumble in doing an Avera. Zrizus means that you're even more careful that you shouldn't even come into the situation of an Avera. Nikius means that you're clean of Averas Bechlal. Marshal says over there an interesting thing that it's talking about, the daily Avodah of a Yid. Zahirus, you're careful about mitzvahs. Zrizus, you wake up right away, you're not lazy in the morning. Nikius, that gives you time to wash negovaser and get up and then prepare yourself properly. Precious, then you daven, the top of process, your hands are spread out in the Eveshtim. Tara, you sit and learn Torah, you have to be taught her to learn Torah properly. You're Kodesh and you're Suda, you have Anova that after your meal you go out to do business with people and you're humble around them. Yudaschet, you're careful about any potential Averis in your daily business. Chassidus, is you do a Cheshbon HaNefesh at night, and you moichel anybody who did anything bad against you, and you makabel Ol Malchus Shemayim with Kedushma. Ruach HaKodesh, but then you don't have a Ruach HaTumah come on you at night, you have a spirit of Kedusha. And Chiyas HaMesim, that the Eved returns you your Neshama in the morning. And then there's also, by the way, that the famous Musa Sefer from Mesillas Yesharim is based on this Braisa over here. So he goes in great detail. The whole Sefer is based on these 10 things of how one leads to the other and what they actually mean in the life of a Koran and the Avodah of a person.
I think we only find the Braisa via the Sefer.
So no, we don't. We find it in Avodah Zarah as well.
Avodah
Zarah. Yeah. Okay. Well, we haven't gotten to Avodah Zarah yet, then. Hadron alach egla, before us, lickle on the fastest second. Shall we do the first line of Gittin and then break from Mitev and then have the Seum and then have the Seum after Mitev?
Yeah.
Okay. The Mishnah in Gittin begins off. Maybe getting a dinner for Yam, if somebody brings a get from overseas. What overseas means, Rashi says it means all of Chutzlaritz for this purpose is called a dinner for Yam. He has to be able to declare that it was written and signed in my presence. Because of the Gemara is going to talk about reasons for it, but the Shliach who's bringing the get from someplace in Chutzlar has to be able to declare that it was written and signed in my presence. We'll get into the details of that tomorrow. So we'll continue after Ma'ariv and we'll say a Siyum on Sota and a Haskola and Gittin Bezal Shem if you want to still stay on the phone, if you want to dial in another 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, Mazel Tov. You can go from strength to strength.
Okay.
Kol Tov.